you go. You're by his side. You're gonna break another heart. You're gonna tell another lie.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636. Always and forever is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Stick around. I am going to blow your mind. Patented mind blower.
Oh, snap.
Coming during World
now
News tonight. Yeah, mind blower.
I can guarantee we don't have the same one.
My head explode, so your head explode is what's going to happen with that. So we got that coming up.
It's not from the UK, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, good. I was going to say mine kind of blew my mind, but I don't think it's as drastic as what you're building up to.
This is one of those rare weeks, Shea Spillane, where we probably could have gone on the air every night and done 2 hours and barely scratched the surface of all of the nonsense and shenanigans unfolding around us.
Yes.
Not a slow news week.
No, not a slow news week at all. And that actually almost made it more difficult because it's like, you know, we both pore over all these news sources to get our stories. And then it comes down to like, well, what do I end up choosing? Because we each talk about, like, we each introduce one.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where some of mine, I'm like, this isn't even probably the most newsworthy thing. It's just what I decided I like the best because everything this week is newsworthy.
I line up all this stuff and then I hit up YouTube at the end of the day and watch Tim Pool and Joe Rogan. And suddenly I need all these topics now too. You know, and what am I going to talk about? You know, but it's from an abundance of choice. This week, we're not going to get to everything. I wish we could get to everything. I wish we had another 4 hours because we could easily do it this week.
Well, it's like when you go to a candy store, like when you go to like Dylan's Candy Bar or something like that, where you're like, there's just too many decisions. Was that you like craving Dylan's Candy Bar?
Every time we go to New York City. Every time. As soon as we get out of the car, Molly starts saying, Dylan's Candy Bar, Dylan's Candy Bar, Dylan's Candy Bar. What are we going to Dylan's Candy Bar? Got to go to Dylan's Candy Bar.
For our listeners who don't know, it's like the FAO Schwartz of candy.
You know what it is?
It's like what? Four stories?
It's like it's sugar. Okay?
The building may as well be made of sugar.
Yeah, no, but if you've been to like that mall store, it's sugar. It's the same thing. It's like they get bins full of candy and everybody's running around like candy.
Well, my favorite thing about that too is that it's owned by Ralph Lauren's daughter. It's like the greatest. It's the irony of ironies because it's like, oh yeah, so my dad lent me this money that he made off women who starve themselves.
Yes.
I'm gonna sell a bunch of candy.
I will say this.
Not exactly a lateral move, if you will.
I do like Dylan's Candy Bar. They have a lot of candy.
And it's just like a really fun store to just play around in, even if you don't buy. It's like I said, it's like the FAO Schwartz, may it rest in peace, of candy.
Yes. FAO Schwartz is back, by the way.
Oh, they are?
Yes. They are now in Rockefeller.
Did someone donate back the giant teddy bear?
They're on the shady end of Rockefeller Center.
I love that there's a shady end of Rockefeller Center.
There's the good end of Rockefeller Center, which is when you're walking down toward where the ice rink is.
I was going to say, like, where the tree is and everything.
Right, where, you know, Gucci and Touche and the Lego store and, like, you know, the people who are paying, like...
To what?
Top dollar for Touche.
To what?
Touche.
To what?
Touche. Don't you start with me. Or paying top dollar
3 minutes in and he already wants to hit me.
Yeah, or paying top dollar for, like, Fifth Avenue real estate.
Yeah.
And then there's that...
like the back of the building.
Then there's that space on the other side of Rockefeller Center, like next to the NBC building, which is like, oh yeah, there's storefronts here too. And that's like, it's still Rockefeller Center, but it's not like primo Rockefeller Center. So they're back there now, and they have a massive,
you can almost see tumbleweeds going by as you try to go back there.
Three-story location. I can't even tell you what used to be there because I don't remember what used to be there. But there is a...
Because he goes to the back of Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, but there is a massive F.A.O. Schwartz back there right now.
Oh, dope. I have to go visit next time I go to New York. That when I was a kid, was like... Because our parents used to take us. I mean, by the way, those of you in Boston who've never been to New York City, it's a four-hour bus ride. And if you play your cards right, you can do it for a dollar.
Yeah.
Like, go to New York City. It's right down the road. Like, I have friends I grew up with who've never been. I'm like, I could see if you've never been to, like, Chicago. But New York, you could hitchhike there and it would take you maybe five... Well, don't hitchhike, but you know what I mean. But no, that's when we were kids, that was, like, a staple when our parents would bring us on, like... yearly or bi-yearly trips to New York.
It's worth it. Just, I mean, Molly and I have been going like...
And it will, I feel like it'll just be nostalgia central.
Yeah. Molly and I have been going for like two or three times a year to go see Broadway shows for the last couple of years because, you know, we've been able to do that. And we inevitably wind up spending way too much time in Midtown and around Times Square, and I'm up and down Fifth Avenue. But, you know, there's tons of great stuff to do in New York City.
Oh, yeah. It has a flavor for everybody. It is expensive.
It is expensive. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. The one of the keys to New York City is to, if you're trying to go down there on a budget, understand that the beer prices in New York and the beer prices in Boston are about the same. Mm-hmm. So you can drink beer to your heart's content. Mixed drinks cost a lot more in New York City.
Mixed drinks are going to be about double.
Okay. And where you eat, because you get wicked cheap lodging in New York City.
Yeah.
That's desirable. Where you eat is going to ultimately determine how much you spend.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, check out the pizza places. Check out the little Korean restaurants, like, on the side streets. Because the food is decent. And if you go to, like, a name restaurant in New York City, you expect to pay...
top dollar.
A third more, minimum, than you're going to pay in Boston, if not double.
Well, and that's kind of the beauty of New York City, is that... you know, a lot of people's excuse for not going there is that it's so expensive. And don't get me wrong, it's second to San Francisco, is the most expensive city in the country. Yeah. But that being said, one of the beauties of that city is that there are so many loopholes and shortcuts and ways you can find your way around. Like, for every place that you can get a really nice sub for like $15, you can get just as good boar's head meat at the bodega and get a $3 sandwich that will taste just as good. Like, it's oh God, you're making me want to go back.
There is a prêt à manger on every other corner in New York City.
And I mean, no matter how rich or poor you are, MetroCard costs exactly the same.
Yep. And that's one of the great things about New York City is, you know, rich people ride in the subways.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, my sister's a corporate lawyer. She rides the subway to work every day.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, and I remember there was like, you know, especially because both my siblings live there, I spend a good amount of time down there. And yes, they make more money than me, so I do get to experience they'll take me to like a nice dinner or something. But I remember there was, my brother was away and I was house sitting for him. And he lives in the Upper West Side. And I remember I calculated that I had spent like $40 in 2.5 days. And I just wanted to like raise my hands in the air like, yeah.
That's an accomplishment.
Beat New York.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
And we're talking like you know, and it's, I spent one whole morning in Central Park and I get a hot dog. Like, there's like things you can do.
I spent $40 for a day of parking in New York City.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a Bolt Bus all the way, baby. You become a Bolt Bus member. If you rack up enough points and book your bus early enough, you can do it for a dollar.
Then I go to Chaz Palminteri and I get the bill at the end and I'm like, hey, no, shouldn't have had that Irish coffee. Anyway, local news.
This was very disturbing. The shooting death of a Randolph man started with an argument, according to police who had an arrest warrant for Justin Gaston, which said that he fired a shot at his friend in the face and then took off.
Bad look guy.
Yeah. According to the Patriot Ledger, Gaston, who's 32, is charged with murder in the slaying of 33-year-old Haki Sanders. Police say Sanders was fatally shot in their shared home in Randolph. Gaston was arraigned today in Quincy District Court and is being held without bail. Police said in the warrant application that Gaston's mother, who lived with the two men, or lives, but lived because one of them's passed, told police an argument began in the home on Monday night just before 8 p.m. about Gaston's mental health. The mother told police that Gaston became angry at her and Sanders. She ran out of the home, called 911 after hearing her son and Sanders discuss a gun. Once outside, she heard several gunshots, she told police, and then she saw her son leave the house and take off in a rented SUV, sparking a 20-hour manhunt. Apparently, in December of last year, this is definitely, it bothers me how topical this is. In December of last year, Gaston was committed to a mental health facility for 3 days after acting extremely erratically. The mother told police her son was angry about the commitment and began arguing with her and Sanders about it, thus leading to this. Gaston's girlfriend, this is what drives me crazy, is it's like, not like I'm like, oh my God, I want a boyfriend. It's like, how do these people find someone to be committed to them?
You got a point there.
Gaston's girlfriend told police that Sanders was the godfather of their children.
Of course.
It is not clear how many children Gaston and his girlfriend have. But yeah, like that's, like I'm reading the story and it's sad and it's, for lack of a better term, gross. Like, it is gross that this is a thing that happened, that this is, it was his best friend and he was mad at him for trying to get him to get help for his mental health.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I, part of the reason some of my best friends of over a decade are still in my life is because they got me to get help for my mental health.
Yeah.
But then when it gets to, of all the really annoying things about this and really disgusting things about this.
I'm going to shoot you and leave in my rented SUV.
Yeah. Like, first of all, like, just dumbest crime ever. Like, yeah. Dumbest crime ever. Like, you do it in the house where you live.
Who's renting an SUV?
You rented an SUV. Like, that's the other thing, too, is you're living with your mother and your friend, and you have multiple children with this woman, and you have the money. Do you know how much it costs to rent any car a day, let alone an SUV?
Yeah.
And then his girlfriend told police, like, hey, men of Boston, I am less crazy than this guy, and I'm super tall and hot. Get on it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want a boyfriend. But still, it's just, it like, the amount of, and again, it comes back to just, why did this man, who had been committed, okay, this was last Monday, so.
Right.
So he'd been committed a little over 3 months ago. Have access to a firearm.
Can I tell you how many years I was single? No mental illness. Okay.
See, you've got one up on me already.
Good. Well, I mean, depression, but, you know, that's everybody. Everybody has depression.
I just almost spit soda water the board.
But let's be honest. Everybody has depression. Some people just aren't aware of it.
I was going to say, some people are just ignorant to the fact.
Yeah. But so no serious mental illness, no drug habit, no serious drinking problems.
Serious being the operative word.
Financially stable. Owned my own, had my own place. You know, years in Boston without a girlfriend. Years. This guy who's renting SUVs and
living with his mother.
And living with his mother with guns and getting committed has got a girlfriend and multiple children. Like, what? Where is the justice in this? How does this happen?
I'm taking it to I'm taking it to a place of I refuse to settle.
I'm gonna guess that I would not want to date this man's girlfriend.
Yeah, probably not. That
she and I would probably be incompatible because she's probably a little too wild for me. But you know. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was looking...
A little too bad at taking birth control.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I was looking for, you know, stable, nice women and not just, hey, let's have a good time. I don't know. I don't, you know.
But it breaks my heart because it, like, I've read stories before about, I wish I could think of their names, but like the kid who... He found his dad's gun and like kiddingly pointed it at his friend and it ended up going off. And then he posted a Snapchat about it because he thought it was funny. But it's like, hey, you're a dumb teenager.
Yep.
These guys are my age. Like, and to have a fight escalate to the point of shooting your supposed best friend and godfather of your children in the face.
Yeah.
Like, it's terrifying that a human being can... I mean, it's terrifying that a human being can do that to another human being in general. But for it to be somebody that you have, like, an obvious, long, deep relationship with, and not in a romantic way. It's not like blind jealousy or something.
I can't imagine
like
killing anybody.
I mean, I can't imagine killing anybody. The only way I can imagine killing anybody is if somebody that I love or myself was threatened.
Yeah,
that's the only way.
But
that
even
I can
then, I'm probably going to try and shoot to wound. Which
I was going to say, straighten the kneecap.
All the gun
Boom.
People are like, you don't shoot to wound, you shoot to kill, and it's like, all right, fine. You know,
that's not what the police told me, but whatever.
Yeah, maybe in that situation, I am aiming for the big meaty torso, but you know.
Like, and even if you know general human anatomy, it's like shoot to incapacitate.
Yeah.
That's what I always think.
If you give me an option to maim and not kill,
yeah,
like, I am going to take the maim option is what I'm saying.
I'm
going to
shoot you in your kneecap or your right shoulder.
Yeah. I will maim you so that you will stop threatening me.
Exactly. Like, make it so that you have to writhe in pain and that's the only thing you can focus on.
Yeah, exactly. Knees are good for that. Highly recommended.
Yeah, I've watched footage of like police doing that to people when they are trying to shoot them in the face. It is. Have you ever gotten dead leg from? Do you have any siblings? I always forget.
Yes, but not from that. I've gotten dead leg, but not from that.
My brother used to dead leg me all the time where, you know, you're standing up straight and then they just hit you in the back of the knee.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it looks like when you kneecap somebody. Their knee just gives out underneath them. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny to get shot in the knee, but it is. It's interesting that it's just like, you're probably going to recover fine from this, but you're so screwed right now.
But it's super painful and you may not recover. Your knees are sensitive. Don't mess with your knees.
You probably won't die is what I mean.
Right. Also in local news, this from the Boston Herald. Unsolved Brockton murders, rapes back in the spotlight. State police are taking a closer look at a string of unsolved murders and rapes in Brockton dating back to 2013 after receiving a flurry of phone calls generated by the arrest last Thursday of Louis D. Coleman III. State police detectives assigned to our office continue to investigate the unsolved murders of two women and three violent rapes in Brockton from 2013 and 2014, said Beth Stone, spokeswoman for Plymouth District Attorney Timothy J. Cruz. The arrest of Louis D. Coleman III in Delaware has generated several calls to our state police unit. As with all unsolved cases, state police will follow up and continue to investigate. Brockton police have been investigating three rapes from October and November 2013 and January 2014, as well as the unsolved murders of Ashley Myatt, 20, and Linda Schufelt, 50, who were found in the woods behind North Quincy Street in December 2014. DNA from one of the women was extracted and determined by the state crime lab to match the DNA from the three rapes. Recently, the DA conducted snapshot DNA phenotyping and was able to create a composite sketch of the suspect that was originally circulated in 2017. The DA's office said the process can use a DNA sample to predict the person of interest's physical appearance and develop a computer-generated composite sketch. The technology uses the DNA to accurately predict eye, hair, and skin color. Now, Louis... Louis Coleman is the gentleman who killed Jazzy Korea, who was abducted from Venue nightclub under circumstances that we still don't fully understand. He took her back to his Providence apartment. We're not sure if she was alive or dead at that point in time. She was subsequently found in a suitcase in the trunk of his car in Delaware. He bears a passing resemblance to the DNA phenotype computer-generated image that was created.
And theoretically, if you think about where Brockton is located in regard to Providence, which is where he supposedly lived,
right?
It's not that far off.
It's not that far off.
You tear down 24, you're back in Providence.
Now, obviously, we know that there was a serial rapist and a serial killer on the loose in Brockton 4 years ago or 5 years. Well, this is, we go back to 2013. This is 6 years ago now. Louis Coleman is 32 years old now, which would have made him 26.
So he probably would have been a bit slimmer.
25 or 26 at the time of those killings and rapes. So age-wise it fits. We don't know if he was in the area at the time that these crimes took place. But the one thing that sticks out in my mind that tells me that this is probably not the right guy, and that's my take on this. I don't think Louis Coleman is the serial killer that they're looking for. Is the fact that they found him in Delaware, whereas this killer left those bodies in Brockton.
That's a very good, well, but that is a very good point. But one could argue that given that this happened five and a half years ago, some people mature with age. But maybe he thought to himself, you know, I should really get rid of the body somewhere that I don't live, move to Providence from Brockton, and rethought his MO.
Maybe, but
see, I mean, no, and I agree with you that it's unlikely. Because usually someone who does a serial anything keeps their MO the same.
Shay and I both know a good deal more than most people do about serial killers because we're both fascinated by serial killers.
Mom, I swear to God, for the ninth time, I'm not one.
Yeah.
If I was one, I wouldn't be so excited to talk about them.
Yeah. I'd
pretend to like tennis or something.
In a different life, or maybe this one, I might have been a good FBI profiler. Because that's the part of it that's fascinating to me is understanding how these people get away with it for as long as they did. One of the things about serial killers is they are creatures of habit. And for a guy who's been murdering people and dumping them locally to suddenly be like, oh, I'm going to take this body across several state lines. Like, why Delaware? Why are you that far south? You know, your absence from work is going to be noticed. Okay. You could go to Connecticut. You could go to New York State. You can go to Vermont. You can go anywhere. Why are you in Delaware?
You could go to Canada.
That's an unusual... Well, you're not going to Canada with a body in the trunk, but that's...
Well, come on. Getting in is easy. It's getting out that's tough.
That's an unusual amount of distance for somebody who, as a serial killer, has been acting completely locally to suddenly be traveling. Maybe he has a better car now. Maybe it was him... And he went quiet after those bodies were found and has been keeping a low profile. And this is his return after 3 years. We don't know. If it does turn out to be the same guy, I will retract and I will say that it is very unusual for a serial killer to completely change their MO like that.
You know, serial killers are masters of disguise. They are masters of fooling everybody. But at the same time, they are ultimately, at the bottom line, creatures of habit.
Yeah.
They may improve upon said habit, but typically, once they figure out the way that they satisfy that urge, the only way they typically improve upon it is to make it harder for them to get caught or to kind of, I hate that this is a term I'm using talking about a serial killer or serial rapist, but they mature in what they view as a craft. So it's akin to, I don't want to make a parallel between serial crime and comedy, but it's, I can make a parallel just in that, like, when you're a stand-up comedian, you develop your craft, you get better, you fine-tune things, you make things work better. You find a better way of doing things, but at the end of the day, you still have that baseline of who you are and of the way that you do it.
Yeah.
And it's similar. This is the only similarity, by the way, but it's similar with like a serial rapist or a serial murderer where they're, like you said, they're not going to change their MO. They may tweak it to make it more streamlined, to make it less likely they'll get caught, fill in the blank, but they won't. I mean, you won't go from dumping bodies in the woods to putting it in a suitcase and carrying it across
right.
the street.
This guy got all.
I agree with. Now that you've talked about, I agree with you.
This guy got all CSI about this thing too. They posted the list of everything that he bought at Walmart, and you know we're not talking about just I got some gloves and some like he got gloves and he got Tyvek protective suits, and he got activated charcoal to cover the smell. And other cleaning products, and basically went to town cleaning up his place, and then went to town like stuffing the body so that no one would necessarily know there was a body in the car.
Yeah. I'm just going on a trip.
Yeah. And if they hadn't pulled him over because they were looking for the car, probably would have gotten away with it.
Which is, I mean, honestly, that's part of what makes me so fascinated with crime and with serial killers and things like that, is that it's always just the tiniest thing that you, like, that you wouldn't even, like, he didn't even think about the fact that they might be tracing his car, because he's like, nobody saw my car, didn't think about the fact that there might be surveillance footage.
Right.
Well, it's just like with a... For those of you who also like this sort of stuff and have not heard of this case from, I believe it was back in the 20s, but Leopold and Loeb.
Oh, yeah.
Two rich kids from Chicago, geniuses. Like, one of them graduated from Northwestern when he was like 19. But they were bored and decided to plan the perfect murder. And they had pulled it off. Like, they had totally pulled it off. And what ended up getting them caught is, I forget if it was Leopold or Loeb, had like a very, very specific eyeglass prescription, that it was a brand new, like only like a handful of people in the Chicago area would ever have it. And he dropped them by where they dumped the body. And that's what ended up leading to their arrest. And it's those things that fascinate me, where it's like, if someone hadn't sat there for hours studying the surveillance footage, getting a make and model of this car, you know, like, it's amazing how, see, like,
it's good detective work.
Yeah, like, detective work is it's really fascinating to watch.
I'm team detectives, always.
Yeah. All right, well, in national news, Senator Martha McSally, the first female fighter pilot to fly in combat, actually, disclosed during an emotional Senate hearing today that she was, quote, preyed upon and then raped, end quote, in the Air Force by a superior officer. According to Fox News, the Arizona Republican, who served 26 years in the Air Force, made the disclosure during a Senate hearing on sexual assault allegations in the military. McSally said that she didn't report the assault because she didn't trust the system and was both ashamed and confused. This is coming from a Republican. This is pretty damning.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. Like, we've discussed the Me Too movement and all of these people coming forward at length on this program, and I've been very candid about the fact that I think a lot of women have come forward for their 15 minutes of fame, or as an act of spite, or for things that aren't actually forwarding the cause. The fact that a female Republican senator came forward this is, I think, perhaps the most compelling testimony towards this cause, because talk about a powerful female. She was the first female fighter pilot to fly in combat. Like, can you imagine that being... I mean, what's funny is that when I first, funny is the wrong word, but what's interesting is that when I first started reading this headline when I was doing my research is, I thought it was just going to say that, like, it was like the 40th anniversary of her first flight or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I was thinking was what I was about to read. And then I never quote Fox News.
Right.
Ever. And
there's usually little reason to, unless they've said something exceptionally dumb.
Well, and the reason that I'm quoting them here is that I originally, you know, I always go to NBC and CNN first, say what you will, but just to get, because it's the blanket whatever stories, and then I go to places like Fox News, Reuters, the AP in general. Like, I try to cross-reference to make sure that I'm getting some kind of the truth lies in the middle story. This across the board. That's why I checked them. I immediately checked with Fox News. I was like, I want to see what they have to say about this. Almost verbatim, their story was the same as NBC News, which I can very rarely say. And that, like I said, the reason this is a very important testimony is because it does cross that aisle. It's no longer a, like, oh, this is just the liberals like being snowflakes. No, this is a Republican woman who served her country for 26 years just in the Air Force and now is on the set. Like, you know, she, and it, I mean, more power to her. That must have been so difficult to bring up. And it's something, I think this will bring forth just how real this is.
There has been
just how this isn't a victim thing. This is a real issue we have to address thing.
I mean, we've watched the slow motion implosion of the Catholic Church over the last 25 years since the first widespread allegations of child molestation came forward. We've been hearing for the last several years, mostly from the Navy, but to a lesser extent from other branches of the military, about a culture of sexual harassment and rape where, similar to the Catholic Church, the people who are committing these crimes are protected by virtue of their status. So if you have a sergeant or a corporal who is raping cadets, they're going to get away with it because there is some lieutenant or there is some general who is sitting around looking out for their interests. And when those cadets come forward, or when those privates, or when those airmen and airwomen come forward and say, listen, you know, Lieutenant Feelgood sexually assaulted me, they are not met with support. They are met with, you want to keep your mouth shut about that if you want to have a career. Because if you take this any further than this, you're done. We will make your life a living hell.
Well, and like honestly, reading the story made me think of the movie A Few Good Men, which is one of my favorite movies. Oh my God, I don't even like Tom Cruise, and that movie kicks so much ass. But it made me think of when he's, why can't I think of their names? I've seen that movie 500 times. But there are two Lance Corporals in the Marines who are on trial. And when he's speaking to the one who's mainly on trial, he tells them about they talk about the code. So the code is unit, core, mm-hmm. God, country. And you'll notice that God and country come after unit and core.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right, where it's the core above any of that other stuff. So it's like, if it's a threat to... All I could picture looking at this is like, I bet it was Colonel Jessup. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, I wanted to include this story because it's a really important part. And you know, as we've talked about, I'm not a hardcore feminist. As much as I have suffered a lot of the things that are being talked about in this movement, I'm not the one running out and waving picket signs and stuff. Just because I'm not going to be a poser and pretend I'm as passionate about it as other people.
Right.
And because I try to take the focus away from that I'm a woman and just be treated like your peer. But this, that being said, this I think was very important in putting a real universally encapsulating spotlight on it. Because this isn't just... And I'm editorializing. I'm saying what other people are thinking, not necessarily what I think. But this isn't just a bunch of whiny girls in Hollywood talking about how the mean agent man was mean to them.
Well,
as a lot of people are viewing it, this is a really well-respected elected senator.
Here's how this plays, and how this plays is important in how we understand the story. As we talk about this, you have no idea what she looks like. You have no idea what she was wearing. You have no idea what she was doing at the time. But as a member of the United States Air Force, we're going to picture her in that sort of Air Force, like one piece.
I was going to say like the uniform.
Flight uniform that they wear. And so it's not like she's... So the whole, well, what were you wearing argument gets thrown out the door. You know, people aren't going to be like, well, your skirt was too short or anything like that. There are still going to be people who are going to be like, oh, she was drinking. I guarantee you before this is over, somebody will say, well, she was asking for it. somewhere because that's how dumb people
because those
react
guys look
to this.
So cute in those like stormtrooper uniforms.
Yeah, that's how dumb people react to this. Is it's like, well, you know, men don't just lose control and rape women. Yes, some of them do.
Yeah, actually, that's very true.
Some of them do, and if you're a guy who doesn't do that, good on you. All right, that means you have good impulse control, and you are a good human being, and you should be proud of that fact. But there are people among us who don't have that. And there are people among us who will deliberately plot to put a woman in a vulnerable position where they can take advantage of her, which is a different kind of scumminess practiced by men. The thing that drives me nuts about this is in any walk of life, whether it be the military or private enterprise or the church or whatever it happens to be, I give two hoots who you are. I give two hoots what your gender is. I give two hoots what your politics are. I give two hoots who you want to go to bed with. I don't care. What I want is I want the most qualified people doing the job. That's what we should all want. Take a job, like whether it's a combat pilot or somebody flipping burgers. I want the most qualified person doing the job. I want somebody who has a passion for it.
Yeah, and somebody who's going to do it well.
And women have a role to play in our military. Women have not done well in special forces training, and they haven't done well in SEAL Team 6 training. I understand that. Sooner or later, we will have women that get passed. I think we have women in special forces now. SEAL Team 6 had a couple of applicants who could not complete the program. Guess what? There's plenty of men who can't complete the SEAL Team 6 program. So that's what that is. If they have the passion for it, and the ability for it, we should want them there. It's the same thing in pro football, all right? You get me a woman who can get on that field with the guys and play pro football, I'm in. Draft them. Let them play.
Yeah. I bet I play football better than a lot of dudes I know. Yeah.
We will, and I've said this, the NFL will be the first league to have women playing alongside the men. They're going to be playing special teams. They're going to be punters and kickers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know some girls I played soccer with in like middle school and high school who can definitely pump that ball way further.
We're gonna see it
than a lot of dudes,
and we're gonna see it probably in the
those
next
girls
5 years.
Have, you know, when their quad like hangs out over their knees, that's how in shape their legs are.
Yeah, because they're doing it in college football right now, and it's only a matter of time before one of these women proves that she's got the skill to be one of the top 32 in the country. That's all you got to do. If you were one of the top 32 kickers or punters in the country, you were going to get a spot on an NFL team more than likely.
Yeah.
So that's where that's going. But that, I'm sorry to hear this. That's the story that makes me sad. And
it makes me sad, but it also makes me, hopeful seems like a weird word to use, but it, like I said, it wasn't being taken seriously universally by everyone in our country when it was just a bunch of liberals talking about this and a bunch of people from Hollywood and you know, a lot of things. It was kind of like, well, like this is a woman who, she doesn't need her 15 minutes of fame. She's a senator. And if anything, this is not the light that this is not something that a Republican senator would want to be what brings attention towards them.
Right.
And the fact...
No, she wants to be known for opposing immigration and abortion. That's, she's Republican.
Exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
But this is not, you know, she's not scoring political points on her side of the aisle off of this. This was a sheer... No, you know what? This does happen everywhere.
Yeah.
This, I think, was a very important testimony to take place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe some good comes out of it, but... That's going to be
I'm knocking on wood.
25 years, we're still waiting for the Catholic Church to own up to what happened there and make some significant institutional change. I think the military is going to take even longer, just because of the way that those organizations are run. You know, it's going to be, it is notoriously difficult to get bad actors out of the military. Like if they wash out when they first enlist, that's one thing. But once you start working your way up the chain of command, like people with bad tendencies have a tendency to fail upward.
Yeah.
And that makes it tricky to try and do anything about this.
Well, it's just another symbol for how everything works. It's always the people at the top think they can get away with everything. And yeah, a lot of times the reason they think that is because they can.
Yeah. And you've also got people who have secrets on other people and are, you know, trading that information. You know, it's like, I protect you, you protect me. That's the way it goes. God. Yeah. Update to a story that we brought you last week. This is from Chief Dermot F. Shea on Twitter. On Friday, 2/22/19, this is his tweet. On Friday, 2/22/19, anti-Semitic graffiti was found throughout a Queens playground. You may remember this story from last week.
Yes.
And the New York City councilwoman, that would be Councilwoman Karen Koslowitz, who described the situation as extremely, exceptionally scary. Well, let it not be said that the New York State Police Hate Crimes Task Force does not get their perp, Shea Spillane.
Not get their perp?
On Friday, 2/22/19, anti-Semitic graffiti was found throughout a Queens playground. The NYPD's Hate Crimes Task Force now have the suspect, a 12-year-old male, in custody. Great job, NYPD Hate Crimes. No matter the face of hate, the NYPD partnered with the community has zero tolerance. Zero is in all capital letters. No matter...
Oh, so at least they're being grammatically correct.
No matter the face of hate, Shea Spillane, no 12-year-old with chalk shall outwit the New York Police Hate Crimes Task Force. 12.
Honestly, I think when a fellow 12-year-old put a tack on my chair in French class, it was worse.
CNN tells us the boy has been released to his mother. Police would not provide...
The boy has been... That is so appropriate.
Police would not provide further details on the case.
The boy has been released to his mother.
The boy is expected to appear in court at a later date to face the charge.
Of a hate crime.
12.
I was going to say, can you rephrase that and say the 12-year-old is...
Okay.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, he should absolutely be taught that that's not cool.
Yes.
But I wasn't saying, I will, when you said that last week about them talking about the triumph of bringing down this hardened criminal.
Well, here's the thing. There are credit to the New York police for not being outwitted by a wily 12-year-old, which is the FBI has been outwitted by children and teens several times in recent years, usually leading to school shootings. So I'll give the New York PD credit for this. But when you're going on Twitter and you're crowing about this, first of all, I have to ask this question.
Yes.
No one in the media has bothered to ask this question, which I find to be a massive oversight. What were the circumstances of this 12-year-old criminal mastermind's arrest? Because when we think about police arresting people, we mentally go to the videos that we've seen online, which usually involve six police officers, guns drawn, surrounding a suspect. Two of them grab the suspect by the shoulders. Another one kicks his feet out from under him. And the two Jesus. Then follow him down to the ground. One of them puts their knee in his back while the other one puts the cuffs on. Were these the circumstances of the 12-year-old's arrest? Because I would like to know that.
Somehow I think it was more him surrendering and peeing his pants. That sounds more like a 12-year-old's arrest for drawing with chalk.
Did you, NYPD Hate Crimes Task Force, have to take this suspect to the ground? Was a taser involved? Did the suspect run? Were weapons drawn? I want answers to these questions, and the media should want answers to these questions, too.
I was going to say, that's what's kind of driving me nuts about this, is like, okay, so we're all like rallying around and celebrating that a 12-year-old got arrested for a hate crime.
Yeah.
How that's, we're always interested in how'd you take the suspect down? How did it go down? How did you apprehend him? Blah, 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 blah. If we're running around celebrating, and it's like, I'm sure that the thing that's holding people back is the fact that this kid is 12. But if we're running around celebrating that they arrested him, why can't we get all the information?
Yeah. Why is, like, was he arrested without incident? Was he arrested with incident? What happened? Was he called to the principal's office and put in cuffs by a resource officer? I want to know the circumstances of the kid's arrest. That's number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to Twitter here. I love the way Chief Dermot F. Shea tries to dial up the fear factor
on this.
I hate
that that's his last name.
You know? The NYPD's hate... This is what he wrote verbatim. The NYPD's hate crimes task force now have the suspect, a 12-year-old male, in custody. He didn't say, we arrested a little boy. We said the suspect is a 12-year-old male. To try and make that sound as intimidating as it possibly can. You arrested a kid.
I was going to say, like, at least say, like, a male minor. Like, if you don't want people to have that bad taste, and they're all like, oh, a 12-year-old? You arrested a 12-year-old?
They are
just
not.
Just say, like, a male.
They're not being treated favorably on Twitter. Chief Dermot F. Shea may be regretting.
Stop saying his full name. It's really
post.
Bothering me.
The first response under the tweet, zero tolerance, with zero in all caps. 12-year-old male in custody for chalk. That's the first response. And then someone responds, not for chalk, for doing something so inappropriate that has caused many people to worry for their safety, exclamation point. To which that previous poster says, whoever is worried about their safety because of a 12-year-old probably needs more help. There's zero chance the kid understood what he was actually doing. I'm a Jew in New York, and I do not need to incarcerate children who draw bad stuff to feel safe.
I was going to say, like, I could crush this kid with my thumb. Like, I can see, yeah, he probably needs a little bit of guidance. Maybe he should have mandatory, like, counseling or something. Join the Big Brother program and be the little one. But to try to say that some idiot kid that used chalk to draw a swastika, and I'm not downplaying how hateful a symbol that is and how not okay it is for anyone to draw that, particularly in a public place, particularly in a place that is paid for by the government. That being said, he's freaking 12. Do you know how many stupid things myself and everyone did when they were 12, thinking it was okay, like not getting the gravity of it? It's dangerous.
As a Jew, child of a survivor, and resident of this community, so this is somebody in Queens, I was horrified when I saw the graffiti, but this cannot end with a 12-year-old child in jail over chalk.
Thank you.
We must address this as a community. Let's explore restorative justice as an alternative. Jail isn't the answer. Then we have somebody else. We need to ban sidewalk chalk. That will stop the hate from spreading. I don't think that's a serious tweet.
Because I don't either.
That was followed up by somebody who posted a picture of a giant tub of sidewalk chalk. Like, it looks like one of those storage bins full of sidewalk chalk.
Oh, I love those.
That says, ban assault chalk and high-capacity containers.
Oh, I want to be that person's friend. I don't, like, mean on Facebook. I just mean in real life. I want to, like, go bowling with them.
Now, notice they don't mention anything other than he's a 12-year-old male. So someone responds, was this like the many other attacks against Jews by black teenagers that have been taking place in the New York area? Again, a reasonable question that the journalists should ask. It's a 12-year-old kid. Maybe talk to him. Have him pass a course.
Exactly. This is the problem with our criminal justice system in general, is that it's always, okay, this person broke the law, send them to jail. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. There are some things that I think that we could do a little bit differently in this case, considering he's freaking 12.
Right.
And he used chalk. That's the best part. I could see, I mean, you know, all...
Did I not sit here last week, Shea Spillane, and say this was going to turn out to be bored kids?
Yeah.
Did I not say that?
No, you said that 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago when the story first broke.
Whenever this broke, I think this broke last, but whenever this broke, I sat here and I said...
We got the assailant.
Yeah.
The assailant was last week. This was 3 weeks ago that the story
broke. I said, it's going to be bored kids. Because you know what they're doing? They're trolling the adults because they're bored and they want to see everybody freak out because then they can sit back and be like,
Well, it's like when I used to say the F word in front of my parents to get a rise out of them.
Exactly.
Like, and particularly, I mean, our listeners know I lived in the Bronx for a while. I went to college there, but I spent the year around there because I inexplicably loved it there for an Irish girl from Boston. But I lived right near like the middle school and the high school there. And I'd see 10-year-olds with spray paint writing like on the side of the school wall.
Yeah.
This kid drew in something that a hose will get rid of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and again, not condoning the symbol in and of itself, but and not defending this behavior, but more saying, okay, well, maybe instead of punishing this 12-year-old kid, we should say, oh, he's 12 years old. There's still time to teach him to not be a butthead.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and sending him to jail, guess what that's going to do? Or sending him to juvie or whatever you want to do is going to just teach him to be more of a butthead.
This will get thrown out by a judge. I'm confident this will get thrown out by a judge.
It has to be.
Now, on the other side of the country, we had another one pop up this weekend where a bunch of high school kids were at a party drinking alcohol, even though they're not old enough to drink alcohol, playing beer pong, even though they're not old enough to play beer pong.
It's called Beirut. Have some respect.
And they got the idea to make a giant swastika out of the solo cups, the red solo cups that they were using to play beer pong. They then took pictures of themselves around the swastika giving the Nazi salute.
Oh, this is in the OC.
This is the Newport Harbor and Costa Mesa kids.
Oh, and the other M was a David Starr.
And everybody's losing their collective minds over what? How can they do this? The swastika, it's the Nazis, the white supremacy. The world is coming to an end. Drunk high school kids, college kids,
dum-dums.
Being edgelords. That's what this is. They're doing this because they know it's forbidden. They know they're not supposed to.
And I don't know how much you know about Newport. These are the rich kids.
Yeah.
Who have just been...
There's
they have to do a lot to rebel. Let's put it that way.
There's a couple of kids at this party who probably have white supremacist tendencies. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's because they're...
They're all... I've been to Newport. I've hung out with kids from Newport. It was the hardest I've ever had to resist punching someone in the face because they're so pompous.
Yes.
But at the same time, this was a... They're not going to storm and protest a statue being taken down.
No.
Like, these aren't... I do like, though, that in this game, the other end was a Star of David, and they took great care to have the blue solo cups be the Star of David and the red solo cups be the swastika.
No, I hadn't heard that detail about it.
Oh, this is the newest one to come out. It's only on the Daily Mail. Maybe they didn't want to show the Star of David.
Some of them issued handwritten apologies today saying, you know, they're apparently one of the parents.
Oh, no, it's just the angle. I'm sorry. They're all red.
One of the parents apparently...
But there is a Star of David.
Found out that a couple of his kids went to this thing and invited a rabbi over to explain to the kids, this is why you don't do this, and invited all of a number of kids who were at the party to come and listen. And 9 of them did come. So there were 9 kids that sat down and listened to the rabbi and were like, oh, yeah, that's bad. And as part of that education process, they were asked to write apologies for what they did, which they did.
They're all doing the salute in this picture.
That is probably a better response to this than arresting a 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just saying like, hey, dummies, we're going to teach you why you're being a dummy, and then maybe you won't be a dummy anymore.
But what we're hearing over and over and over again is that all of these crimes involving swastikas and Nazi graffiti and people laughing at Hitler are way up in the last 3 years. And particularly in the last 3 years.
What happened in the last 3 years that kind of coincides with that? I can't remember.
Well, we do have millennials now. That's a problem.
Oh, don't blame it on millennials.
I'm going to blame...
Jesus, you know what I'm alluding at. I'm alluding to, rather.
I'm
going to
blame it on millennials because the
you always play that card.
The problem is not the person in the White House, okay? The person in the White House has only been there for a couple of years. And
no, but the problem isn't the person in the White House. The person in the White House is... what's the word that we learned in science class in high school? Well, my favorite word is impetus, but that doesn't quite fit
it's
here.
No, it's not even that.
He's the... when there's a chemical reaction and you need, like, it's the chemical reaction is happening, but in order to accelerate it, you need to add something else. God, I'm sorry, Miss McDonough. I know I aced your class and I should totally remember this.
The word you're looking for is catalyst.
Catalyst. Thank you.
And that's not, no, that's not, it's not what's going on here.
I disagree.
They are taking advantage of a culture war and a divided public to get attention, to basically say, look at how edgy I am. Look at how not politically correct I am.
But this is my whole point. I'm not saying that it's Donald Trump's fault. This obviously all existed. It didn't just magically become 2016 and everyone's like, oh, I'm just going to be a jerk from now on.
These kids.
It's a matter of that it gave, all of a sudden, it became more socially acceptable.
It is.
Not even socially acceptable, but it became more... If for lack of a better term, en vogue to be like, yeah, look at me. I'm going to put a swastika in my Beirut table and it's going to be awesome. Like,
tell
it
on the phone,
made
Medford.
It more okay.
No, it's not more okay. In the case,
I know it's not more okay, but it made it seemingly more okay.
The 12-year-old in Queens is just being a 12-year-old, okay? They're going to do that.
Oh, no, I'm talking about these dumb high school kids from Rich People USA.
The kids in Newport and Costa Mesa are the same kids that spend all day long giving lip service to diversity and progressive politics and, oh, we need to celebrate everybody and we need all this inclusion, all the rest of that. Get them behind closed doors amongst their own kind, okay? I think it. The pictures I've seen looks like an awful lot of white faces at this party, okay? You get a bunch of these privileged white kids behind closed doors where they don't have to be politically correct anymore, and suddenly they do a 180. And they're like, let's see how politically incorrect we can be. And they're giving Nazi salutes and making swastikas out of plastic cups.
Bunch of little jerks.
And it's, hey, we're so edgy. And then they're going to leave that party and they're going to be like, I love diversity. We need more immigration. And all the other things that they're supposed to say. This is a this is a tribal reaction on their part, basically. That's what they're doing. What bothers me is the fact that we keep seeing Nazi imagery come up in this. Because when I was growing up, if you invoked Nazi imagery, you were getting your ass kicked. Plain and simple. You were going to get your ass kicked. And you were going to get your ass kicked hard. Because there were still a lot of people walking around your neighborhood who either fought in World War II or were a child of someone who fought in World War II.
Or a child of someone who died in World War II.
Or were related to someone who died or knew somebody who fled Nazi Germany. I mean, we had children of Holocaust survivors growing up around us. And if you started talking about, oh, Nazis and Hitler and all the rest of this, you would get your ass kicked. And you deserve to get your ass kicked because that history was still immediate. Mm. The thing that I see happening in both of these cases is... The horror of that and the significance of that has faded as the people who were directly impacted by it have died. And
that's
we find
true.
And we find ourselves
that's a very good point.
With a generation now, with Generation Z, that looks at this as something that's sort of ancient, distant history. No, it's not. We're talking about things that happened 70 years ago, not that long.
Yeah, and I was saying not even triple digits years ago.
75 years ago. And it's like, yeah, it's history. But it's also the death of 6 million people at the hands of a few fascists. You really don't want to be playing games with that. You don't want to take that lightly.
Well, and it is. I mean, it all goes back to, like, as we were talking about this 12-year-old, it all goes back to being educated properly, being informed, being informed that this isn't okay because it is. I mean, there are plenty of things. I don't know if I can say this word on the radio.
No.
No. Let's just say there was a word that is a derogatory term.
Just call people jerks.
There's a derogatory term that I learned from a movie when I was like 10 years old. It's another word for, I can say the anatomical
all right,
thing, right?
I got to play this. collect your thought.
Okay.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
FCC really gets on me if I don't play those every hour.
So. It's funny that we bring them up as I'm like, can I say this word in the radio?
Yeah.
But anyways, I heard a word in a movie. I just knew that it meant like dumb person. It was, you know how we have many words to mean like dumb or bad person
Yes. Based
on euphemisms for the male genitalia. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
And I didn't know that that's what it was referencing. So I was in an argument with my mom.